Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I can.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Paul to... Peter. Bugger! Start again.
You could say Paul Parker, right?
Start it again.
No, let's just go with that. Hi, I'm
Dean,
Jason.
Start again, damn it!
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Peter Polka.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds
Better.
Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week, to celebrate the fast approaching Spider-Man Far From Home, we thought we'd take a trip right back to the beginning to look at the very first big screen adaptation of the character. Spider-Man 2002, directed by Sam Raimi, who also directed Evil Dead and was a producer on two of my favorite shows growing up, Hercules the Legendary Journeys and Xena, which he also created. So does Spider-Man hold up? Does it soar like an eagle? Or does it simply flip the bird? What did you guys think of this movie? Dean, what did you think on retrospect watching Spider-Man for the first time in a while?
It has been a long while. And we've done a couple of these retrospect reviews now.
Yeah.
And
have we?
Yep.
I believe. And most of them have been quite a drag, and I've kind of dreaded them.
Yep.
This one is by far the most fun I've had going back to watch an old movie. Like, it hit me in the feels. I got really nostalgic with this.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Honestly, like, yes, the CGI doesn't hold up. There's a lot of really cheesy moments dialogue wise and everything, but there are so many awesome bits in this moment in this movie, and so many good moments of cinematography and masterful filmmaking. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and yeah,
fair enough.
So yeah. It soars like a bird. It soars like an eagle.
Soars like a bird.
It soars like a bird.
Okay.
It soars like a flopping bird. No.
How many podcasts have we been doing so far?
So many. At least they didn't say it soars like a star.
Yeah, that's true. what did you
it
think
It soars
of this
like
movie?
Schneider.
I've said this. You can go back and clip how many times I've said this. I always have room for Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man is my cake after dinner. There's just always room for it, and I'm totally leaning on it. Look, I think the standards over the years have risen and risen and risen, and Spider-Verse will jade anyone going back to watch an old one, because that movie is just stellar.
Yeah.
I still loved it. I still thought it was great. It's weird. It's weird that the web comes out of him and all
weird.
Of that stuff.
Whoever came
I think
with
the
that, oh.
Mm-hmm. If the acting's weird. It's just, look, it's a weird movie, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Manganiello's in it.
I didn't even know he was in this movie. And when he
I didn't even think about it.
Hang on. What?
What is Flash Thompson? This?
Okay. Yeah. That's another thing another thing weird about this movie. I'm like, 10 years out of school? 10 years out of high school, and the high school is in this movie.
In 2002?
Older than me.
Oh.
No, I'm right now 10 years out of high school. And and the high school is they still look like they've got 5 years on.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Like, this movie starts with a bus full of 30-year-olds going to school. I'm like, the bus driver is probably the youngest person there.
There's the scene where the bus driver, it's a close-up on the bus driver, and he's laughing because Parker's not on the bus.
Yeah.
And you're like, there are people behind you who look older than you, sir.
I wonder if there's a moment on set when in the lab scene where somebody looked around and was like, okay, the teachers, the scientists, and the students are all the same age here. There's a bit of a problem.
The only thing separating him is the fact that they made him look like a teacher. Like,
they dressed
him
up
as a teacher. Yeah. It's like,
for sure.
Surely you can hire, just recast, swap this teacher out with one of the 40-year-olds in the classroom.
You've got to be a teacher, so you're the only one that's not in a hoodie.
Yeah. I mean, that's public school for you.
I hate to be like Sam Raimi breaking the news to the person that he thinks looks a little bit older than the others. He'd be like, I'm 30. He's 32. Like, it's just like, no, you're playing.
Joe Manganiello used to babysit me. Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious. It's a good movie though, man. It's such a great movie.
It's like
when Steve McQueen would play a 15-year-old, but he's like 42.
Yes.
Back in the day.
You're like, what? No.
What the heck?
All right, what did you think,
Jason?
I actually did enjoy this movie a lot more than I thought I would, like, coming back into it. And again, there's a lot of nostalgia on it. I think there is some things in it that, like, don't hold up as well. But
what?
It's still
student
pretty
casting,
fun. And
for
it
example.
Is really fun.
Yep.
And I
Kirsten Dunst's acting.
That I remember this movie being worse because of the sequels more so than...
Really?
Yeah, like mainly the third one because of all like the retro, like changing stuff in the third one, especially where it's like, oh no, that guy didn't actually kill your uncle.
Yeah, no, the third one is
toilet
guy.
Yeah, and that kind of ruins it a little bit. Like it sort of tarnishes it from making the newer version sort of thing. And I think going back with a fresh approach, I feel like it's much better and it really does hold up on its own. But
I still hold on to the like thought that I personally think the second one in the series is the best. And it's still like top three best Spider-Man films that we have.
Are you serious?
I think you guys disagree specifically.
When's the last time you watched it?
A while ago.
I watched it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched
it
in a while.
It's Wednesday, Thursday. Mm. I watched it on Sunday because a guy that I follow on Twitch does movie nights.
Yeah.
So we all jumped in a chat. We're all just joking and mocking this movie. When is the last time you saw it, Dean?
Probably.
Because it is not a good movie.
What makes it not a good movie now? Is it
the screaming? The sheer amount of people running up to the camera going,
all the Evil Dead sort of references, hey, like it's like those. There's the whole scene where Dr. Ock is getting like actually. He becomes Dr. Ock, basically. Mm-hmm. And
that doesn't look good.
And like there's like all those crazy shots and there's the doctor that comes out, the nurse or whatever that comes out and she's like, and it goes like right in close on him. Yeah.
But on the street, when Kirsten Dunst is hanging from the balcony, there's heaps of people going like, but Kirsten Dunst screams a bunch as well.
What about the story though? Because the story is always the thing that's made that the best one for me, like the whole character arc of Spider-Man struggling to be Spider-Man and coming to terms with like what the actual cost of being, of having this responsibility is and then calling it quits and all that. Like that is a very intriguing story. And I thought like not many, still even today, like not many superhero movies go down that path of like showing the true struggle of being, of trying to do the right thing the whole time. I think it's like, it's one of those really cool philosophical things that is definitely not the kind of podcast that we are meant to be doing. But anyway, so that doesn't hold up.
I honestly don't remember much of Spider-Man 2 and like I'd forgotten a lot of Spider-Man 1 until we watched it this week to do this podcast. Yep. So
it's just not a good movie.
Yeah.
Like it stops being Spider-Man 1 and it just becomes being Spider-Man 2. It's like Peter Parker too, because everyone in New York knows that he's Peter Parker. Mm. There's that wonderful line where he stops the train and then passes out and they're passing him back over the crowd. And they're like, be careful, he's a hero.
And they're just, he's just a kid.
Do they actually say that?
Yeah, dude, it's so crazy.
I remember
he's
that.
Just a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, they actually say that.
I'm definitely going to rewatch it. I hope it holds up as good as this first one. Anyway.
It might have ruined it. But anyways, we all agree that the first one at least is like it soars like an eagle. So let's get into the actual story of this and sort of break it down a little bit. If you haven't seen this movie, this is the time to probably jump out because we're going to go into some spoilers, some plot beats. But I mean, it has been out for quite some time. So
really, answer in the comments below if you haven't seen this. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Anyways,
Spider-Man.
So we get a voiceover in the very beginning where it's like this story, like any story worth telling is about a girl. And I thought, no.
Yeah.
This is meant to be about Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
He starts with, every story starts the same with a girl.
No, he says the story, like any story worth telling is about a girl. That's the line. And no, I'm like,
first
no.
of all, he asked
Peter Parker
question,
straight up lying to us.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He does all that kind of thing. Oh, are you sure I want to know?
He's like, so, well, yeah. I'm here. I've spent money.
This is the bus, like we were talking about, the 30-year-old bus, which it's like, yeah, he's chasing along
They've
beside
repeated
it,
a couple
and everyone's
of times.
Been jerks and whatnot. And then they have the whole scene where it's like, you can't sit here, and you have the really nerdy girl that's like, nah, you're too uncool.
You can't
really
fit
like
here. Like, righto.
I thought that
Take
was
it easy.
Don't even good. Think about it.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
You're
It was a full-on recreation of Forrest Gump, eh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for
sure.
State
steak and...
Yeah, it's like steak and for sure.
You can sit here if you want.
I found it really funny when Harry's getting introduced for the first time and we meet Norman, and Norman comes up and he's like, oh, Pete, I've heard a lot about you. And
I'm something of a scientist myself.
Yeah, I'm something of a scientist myself. And Peter goes, yeah, I read all your research. And he's like, and you understood it? And he's like, yes, I wrote a paper on it. And straight up,
impressive.
Without missing a beat, he goes, impressive.
Mm-hmm. Impressive.
But you haven't read that paper. It could have been like...
But he understood it.
It could have been like written in crayon stick figures for all he knows.
Like, it could have just been like, I didn't understand any of this.
Nanotech are robots that are tiny. Tiny robots could help us in everyday life by tying our shoes or being pants.
The end.
Humans need not wear clothes. They cover themselves in nanobots. Someone shows up to school in the same outfit, and then you can be like, nanobots, change. And they will.
Because like, I could go to Norman's company and get a job really easy. I just gotta tell him I'm brilliant and everything. Yeah.
That's right.
Impressive. God.
You're impressive.
Thing is, if Norman Osborn read that paper, he's the kind of dad that will look at it and go, still smarter than Harry.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least you're not eating crayons.
Harry, you're 30 years old. Stop eating crayons.
Yes, right. So, here's the thing that confused me, though. It looked like Joe Manganiello was with Kirsten Dunst, right?
Yeah, he is. Yes. He's mm-hmm. the boyfriend.
Then why doesn't he put the hammer down on Harry for basically hitting on her the whole time they're in the spider lab?
Because Harry's rich. I don't know.
Probably. Look, well, they're 30-year-old teenagers.
Yeah.
They're bullies. Yeah. They're idiots. They're
no, they do pick on him. They do pick on him.
They do pick on him.
Like, what are you going to do? Oh, because his dad's going to fire your dad.
Yeah. They do.
They're probably laughing because one of them's doing like a massive turd in the corner, and they're just like distracted by how hilarious that is.
Massive like turd in the corner. What?
They're teenagers.
What
they're
did
just
you do in
things.
High school? What school did
they're
you
dropping
do?
It. They're dropping an Iron Man 3 in the corner.
Wait, isn't that what you guys did on excursions? An Iron Man.
Hey, real story though. Here's a funny story from when I was in kindergarten, and I remember this so well. There was a kid who really needed to go to the toilet, and at the kindergarten I was at, there was a toilet in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a door and stuff, but it was there.
Yeah.
Because kids are young, they've got to go.
Yeah.
Someone else was in there, and this kid really had to go. So the teacher's like, just wait, they'll be out soon. The way this child decided to solve his problem was he was sitting on the chair next to the toilet door, kind of doing the hopping thing, and it just became too much. So he took a dump on the seat. Yeah.
Right.
And so that is exactly what I expect Joe to be doing.
That's how you solve your problems in 1998.
So in this movie with 30-year-olds playing teenagers, they're like, that's what teenagers do, right? It's the same. It's been so long since I've been a teenager, I don't know anymore. Just gonna go poop in the corner.
What do you like, Flash? I like football and meat and pooing in corners.
Well, I honestly don't know what else could be distracting them at this point, you know? Like, That's what true. Other thing could it be?
Yeah, yeah, because they're like
one of the guys has shoved his head in the spider tank.
That could have happened.
Anyway, so they're at this science display, and yes? Peter's like creepily asking for photos of MJ. And
whoa,
paper. Yeah.
You're missing a really important beat, dude.
Yeah, there's all the spiders. What? What are you missing?
Did you mention that they had the largest electron microscope on the eastern seaboard?
On the eastern seaboard.
Is that really necessary?
No, I'm smucking around. Carry on. Spiders.
Anyway,
photos. Creepy.
So Creepy Pete is, he's like,
Creepy Pete.
If I was MJ in this moment and he's like trying to get a photo of me, I'd be like, no way. Like he, and then he goes and he takes like 30 photos of her.
Yeah.
It's just all her.
Isn't he lucky you're not MJ?
I like how she just walks away.
Yeah. While the spider comes out, like he's got to wait for the spider to come and bite him. So he's like taking heaps of photos.
There's no like, MJ, come on. She's like, oh, okay. Are we good? It's like, okay. Good. Walks off.
Okay. You're creepy. Like, I'm gonna go now.
Yeah, there's none of that. She just like leaves.
Like, okay, bye. She's like a Labrador. Yeah. Okay. It's like,
I'm gonna go over here now.
What we're learning is MJ actually has ADHD.
Yeah. But so he gets bit by a spider and he goes home. He's not feeling well, so he just sort of runs off to his bedroom, and we've got like Uncle Ben, and I'd forgotten that how much like Uncle Ben sort of, when he first gets introduced, he's kind of like a narrator of his own life, but he's doing it all out loud. Did you notice that?
Because have you met an old person though?
It's true.
They do that. They just talk.
They do talk.
They like noise. True.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm going to put my shoes on
that
now.
They haven't run out of things to talk about.
That's true, because now
it's just a commentary track.
Yeah, yeah, because he's like, when the senior electrician gets laid off, what else can I do or whatever?
And then
he's
65, like, May. No one's gonna hire me, and I'm too dumb to know computers.
Yeah.
Just turns around. I was like, maybe you should just stop mentioning it and do something about it.
Well, let me do something about it. Where's the paper with the wanted ads? Here's the paper. Let's look at the wanted ads. I'm looking at the wanted ads.
Specifically in the computer section.
In the section that starts with C. Maybe I could look at E for electrician, but stuff that.
I've got to narrate my way to the E's, okay? So we've got a... Apple management.
I'd love it if Peter comes home and then he's like, oh, look, Peter's home. I'm going to say hi.
Hi, Peter.
So what we were talking about. So narrator, Uncle Ben.
Yep, Captain Obvious.
So there's a scene like later on in this movie after he sort of has his transformation and all this kind of stuff where he sees MJ outside after she's just been yelled at or whatever.
Oh, I love that scene.
Sees her through her window first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's like watching her all the time. Creepy Pete's in full force.
I think at this point she's aware of Peter's...
More like...
Creepiness?
Yeah.
Bloody... Peter Parker.
She's advertising. That's what's happening.
Okay. All right. All right. Anyway, so she's talking about how she wants to be like an actress and stuff, and he's like, he goes, "I cried like a baby when you played Cinderella."
Yeah, that was creepy.
Girls like sensitive men.
No, but
the first grade.
He remembers it from the fourth grade or whatever, but
I don't remember
Cinderella being that sad.
She's just really good.
Like, her sisters are mean and stuff, but
yeah.
Creepy Pete crying over MJ.
Peeper.
Doesn't Peeper Pete.
Jason, that Peeper was Parker. First grade.
Was it first grade or fourth? Yeah. I thought it was fourth, but maybe
fourth
I'm wrong.
Grade, yeah. That would be a bit weird. First grade, hang on. Let's fact check this.
First grade's okay. Yeah.
That's when Dom Toretto met Vin. Yes.
Hang on. So that was first grade. So they would have been what, like?
It was first grade?
16, 17?
They'd have been seven. Oh, yeah, right. First grade. Also happening in the first grade was the Cold War.
<That's right>. Yeah, and in this moment also she's like, oh, like whoever wrote this, it's so bad. She's like, you're taller than you look. And he goes, I hunch. And she's like, don't. Okay, George Lucas, like what?
Oh, man.
What is this dialogue? It's so romantic. Don't. Don't hunch.
I hunch. Don't. Did I tell you I don't like sad? Yes.
John of the hunch.
But anyway, so he's becoming Spider-Man. Like he has like the whole puberty sequence or whatever it is. It's so weird, this whole... you said it at the beginning, but the actual... web coming out of him.
It's gross.
It is really gross.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that was a good move. It becomes a problem in the sequels because they're like, he's running out of that web.
Yeah. When we were watching Spider-Man 2 on the weekend, it was something one of the guys said where he catches her as she's falling and like slowly lowers her down with the web. And like we're watching this scene and one goes like, this is coming out of me. And you're like, oh, yeah, it is. It's so creepy.
I like that they make it a bit of a story arc thing though in the second one. Like he's running out of it and he's like losing his powers kind of thing. And that's what makes him decide.
He just needs to drink more milk.
Yeah, that's it. It's lack of calcium. Anyway, and yeah, no, but
they
he decides
kind of throw
to
that
give
away
up.
In the sequel, don't they? They're like, oh yeah, it's like he's losing his powers, and then he's just not losing his powers anymore. That's how it felt like when I watched that movie. I haven't watched it for a while, so maybe
we need to watch
it
again.
But
I'm gonna watch it again, and then we'll compare notes for sure.
Yeah, okay,
will we?
So anyways,
do we have to?
He goes and wrestles to get a car to impress MJ. And this is when he first reveals his first costume, which I thought was kind of cool. Like the costume making montage.
That was awesome.
All these kind of things are really nice. And we have like, just before he gets dropped off, we have like the classic line from Uncle Ben. With great power,
comes great response.
Yes, exactly.
We were all going to say.
Did you guys get my? did you guys get the video I sent through?
I didn't get to watch it fully, but
the costume
I did.
Design.
You
bit,
copied it, didn't you?
I 100% copied for my Year 12 HSC film. I copied that Spider-like costume design scene shot for shot, and I
was done
very
well. By the way,
thank you.
I was actually going to say, did you just cut it out of Spider-Man?
Dude, look, my brother is in that. That is a nice compliment. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I feel like that is partly really why this movie was so nostalgic. Shut up. Take your compliments back. No,
That's partly why. What were you trying to say?
Nostalgia, like why it was so nostalgic for me, because you made a movie about this. Yeah, I was just like, oh, I remember this from back when I ripped it off.
Yeah,
no, that's like, plagiarism.
I studied it heaps for that film. Yeah. And yeah, because it was all about a kid that wanted to be a superhero that didn't have any superpowers and thought he had superpowers.
Spoiler!
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't finish it.
Anyway, I think so I was like, yeah.
Unreal.
Me and this movie, we go way back. That's all I was saying. So, yeah,
fair enough. So we have Norman Osborn. He's he's going through, like, he's trying to create some sort
he's
of serum
a,
for like super soldiers or something like that, you know, like basically the
performance
Captain
enhancement
America
serum
thing.
He's trying to keep a military defense contract.
Yes, he is. And
it ain't going well.
And they're like, no, it's gonna go back to formula, and he's like, no, I'm not going back to formula. I'm gonna inject it in myself. So
yeah, we're ready for human trials.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked how, like, matter-of-factly, like, how the military dude just did not beat around the bush at all. It's like, look, I don't like you. I want you to get shut down. So there's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to pretend. It's like, yeah.
I feel like it's
honor
like
amongst thieves.
It's a losing battle for Norman really in this moment, because like even if he did get it working, I don't think they would have went with him anyways. No. But that's
I mean, he had a badass glider, and they're like, yeah, we've seen this already. Great. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Move along. Whatever. Story. What else do you have?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yes.
yeah, so like he does like the whole injection sequence, and we have like the misty room that fills up with the green smoke, and then he has his big reveal and kills the other guy.
It's a gas, that's
like
but yep.
Back to formula. Anyways, and formula. As it progresses, because he goes and bombs the same military guy.
We are just jumping all over this.
We don't know it's him yet. Oh my goodness.
We do know that he's the Green Goblin. Don't we?
Do we?
The lead scientist
hasn't
is dead.
Been established
someone's
yet.
Taken the glider. Someone's taken the suit.
Oh, yeah, you that's just, right. Oh.
We didn't see that.
And you're also, you know, assuming. Peter Parker is now Spider-Man. He has powers. Mm-hmm. He,
yes.
Fight scene. He has powers. He accidentally webs his fork, and then he webs a tray of food, and then he slams it into Flash, and then he fights him.
Awesome. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was a great fight scene.
I think visually
it was a fight scene.
Yeah. Basically, whenever characters weren't talking and delivering dialogue, this was a good movie. Like it was shot well. Like the action beats
felt
quite good.
Yeah. Right.
His other students and friends treated him a little bit meanly after he destroyed Flash, considering that his Spidey sense made him dodge a fist that was coming to the back of his head.
Yeah.
He was going to get king hit by this guy, and everyone thinks that he's a freak for punching him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, coward punch.
Jesus, Parker, you're like, a freak.
Get your priorities straight, guys. He was going to be paralyzed in a second.
Harry sticks by him. Harry
when this moment happened, I actually didn't realize how much it really ripped off The Matrix, like the final scene in The Matrix where Neo goes up against Agent Smith and he's sort of like just dodging him and that, and then he just punches him down the hallway kind of thing, because he does the exact same thing with Flash. He sort of dodges it all and then just has that one punch and it like knocks him right down the hallway. It's
did The Matrix rip this off?
No, The Matrix came out like a few years before.
I don't know when that scene was composited.
Yeah. Mm. Fair enough.
Maybe when they started filming, they were all teenagers.
They just aged through it. Yeah.
You're right. Like, we've got to get this movie out. We can't do reshoots.
Sure we can. They're no 40. One will notice. No one will notice that we're now 30.
Slap a mask on him. Why does he have a mask though? He's a civilian.
Anyways, so like the Green Goblin blows up the military base with all the guys, and because that bombing happens, his whole company is like, I don't understand fully what happens, but they kick him out of the company, basically. Like, his board of directors all sort of go against him, and they kick him out of the company, which sends him over the edge, and
basically Steve Jobs him, eh? They'd kick him out of Apple.
Yeah.
That's 100%
basically do that kind of thing. And then that's what really spurs on his sort of schizophrenia in this. And that sort of manifestation of the Green Goblin really comes out, and we have those really cool scenes where he's like talking to himself.
And I love those scenes.
I actually think they work pretty well still.
Really, really, again, like really well done scenes in this movie. Like really
like
cool
they're weird.
That are visually
they're really weird. But for some reason it works.
This is when the head writer was writing and he's smashing stuff out, hit save, goes home. The B writer comes in and he's pumping out lines like, you're taller than you look. Yeah. A hunch.
Two different
hit
writers.
Save, goes home.
I cried like a baby when you played Cinderella. That's what he wants.
Like, what? Kerry, come in here real quick. We're going to discuss some stuff. The hell is this?
Then the head writer comes in, does the with great power comes great responsibility. It's like, that's great. Now you do some more Uncle Ben. Like, computers.
No. He's like, with great great power comes great responsibility. B-Rider comes in. Are you ready? Bone saw is ready. I got you for 3 minutes.
So yeah, we have that scene where he fights in the ring, and it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like
it's and awesome. Then
the whole moment where Uncle Ben dies, which I thought was handled actually pretty well, and I'd forgotten that they don't
shot well.
Show him actually getting shot or anything like that.
Mm.
You just sort of come in on the aftermath, which I think works so much better. Like than what happens in Spider-Man Other 3 versions. When we actually see the flashback kind of thing.
Agreed. The other thing I noticed that works really well, especially in these moments, is the score for this movie.
Yeah.
Is pretty on point. The whole Danny Elfman. I noticed it when first when he's discovering the wall crawling, that scene. And he's like putting his hand and boom, boom.
And it's like, going on every hand beat. It's actually done really well.
It's really well.
But it was done, it was sounded similar to like the type of score you'd get from Flight of the Bumblebees. Like it was that kind of creepy, crawly, insecty, like that constant strings was like, oh, it's kind of creepy, but kind of awesome at the same time. Yeah, it was done really well.
Absolutely.
The score was great.
It comes through in these emotional moments as well. Just
It's Danny Elfman, right? That did
Danny
the score
Elfman,
for this.
Yeah.
Which, like, you can tell because he's got such a unique style, and every time, like, they're so over the top, his scores, but they work really well in this film. And when they have absence of music later on, I think that works really well as well.
Oh, yeah, so, like the final fight scene, true.
Yeah. So, but
we'll get to that.
Uncle Ben dies. It's really sad. What? Then we have a graduation scene where Norman's like, yeah, I didn't think you'd make it or whatever to Harry. He's been super supportive as a dad. And then this is actually now when Norman gets kicked out of his company and sets him over the edge.
Also MJ breaks up with Joe.
Yes, she does. She breaks up with Flash.
Like, look, I'm 35 years old. I'm going to start thinking about my future.
I want to settle down. You know, like, I don't know whether we're working out. Like this is.
I'm 29. You're 46. The difference is just too big for me. I'm sorry.
So she breaks up with Flash, and then we have Norman gets kicked out of his company, and then we have a Macy Gray cameo. Whatever happened to her?
Like, I try to say goodbye.
I haven't heard from her since this movie. Like it's like
it's good. It's been great.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard about her like before.
I wonder if like they actually did it on purpose, like. Her having Macy Gray in the Macy Day Parade. Like, I'm like...
makes sense. Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah.
Look, she was just very big in the early 2000s. I still don't know why.
Yeah.
But, you know, good on her, I guess.
Probably. And we also have the Stan Lee cameo in this moment as well when the Green Goblin comes in. And he's like, what is he? Like, I think he's saving that child. But then I also was wondering whether he was using her as a shield. When, like, stuff falling down.
Yeah.
Because he, like, has that split second of, like, he's, like, grabs the girl out of the way.
He uses this kid to stop a brick or whatever. And he's just like, shield.
Shield.
Great idea.
Wow.
He refers to himself as the captain as well. He's like, that's captain, right. The shield. I could use
later
this.
On, Green Goblin gets taken out because someone hurls a child at him, but it doesn't come back.
But anyway, so the Green Goblin comes in and he uses like a flash grenade that instant kills the board of his company.
Yeah.
A weapon that's never used ever again. It's like
it's a one-off. It's a one-off, Jason.
One-off game.
It's a prototype.
Yeah. And this is when we really get a good look of the Green Goblin suit and him flying around, and it really feels like he fits better in Power Rangers. I hate this suit. Like I really.
What?
This is the part that I really dislike, and I never liked the design, even when I watched it.
Okay.
When it first came out, I watched it at the cinemas and I remember thinking, I like this movie, but the suit just like the mask looks just a little bit crap. I always had that that opinion, and like even
the mask was.
It always bothered me
at the end.
Yeah,
obviously.
But the mask was like, it was such a mesh over his mouth that you see so many lines delivered by Green Goblin, but the mouth isn't moving.
Yes. There's so much.
Oh, man.
Like, impressive. But it's just like,
I think. The main issue is that Willem Dafoe's, like, this is the whole Weird Al Yankovic thing. It's like, he's scarier without the mask on. Because, honestly, it's like.
Yeah, he's got like a very emotive face. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway.
I understand that. So at this point, by this stage in the movie, MJ and Harry are together, and and they're up on the thing, and they and MJ almost dies, but Spider-Man comes in and saves her and fights off Green Goblin, and he gets like I don't know, he has some engine issues, so he flies home because like. That's the end of the fight now.
Well, yeah, he webbed up one of his jets.
Yeah, I know, but like...
And he rips some crap out.
It's a very, very easy defeat for him to run off.
Well, he's flying a prototype hoverboard.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay,
he wasn't expecting Spider-Man, man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So, man, Spider-Man.
At this point, we get Spider-Man. Well, we've seen the suit. For like the new suit that now he's redesigned and everything like that, and and he's now working for the Daily
Daily Bugle,
yeah. J. Jonah Jameson,
we do. And he's still fantastic. How good is he?
The only screen JK version Simmons. Of J. Jonah Jameson, and
As I kind of feel like currently, but maybe we'll get one in Far From Home, but I doubt it very much.
I feel
it
like they're holding it off.
Yeah.
They're holding off recasting J.K. Simmons because people kind of know that no one can play it better than J.K. Simmons.
No one.
He's just
wouldn't
so
it throw
good.
People through a loop if they bring him back?
Oh, I would love, I'd love that it. So
they
much.
They should just bring
that
him back.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, he's
have
so
good.
Have
you guys
good.
Seen, have you seen it was, it happened like, sometime in the last year. J.K. Simmons was on a radio show and they asked him to do like a what if J. Jonah Jameson thing where he was like reacting to the Infinity like War snap.
Oh, right.
So good. Yeah.
That actually would like, be pretty
cool. He fully
cool.
gets into
character.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. It's
that's
like,
so cool.
Oh, it's hilarious. And it's all just ad-libbed and it's clear that pretty much all his scenes were just improvised on the day.
Wow.
It's just fantastic. Oh. Check it out. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Real quick. Yeah. Sorry. Bit of trivia. I didn't know this. This is really interesting. And I'm sure you've seen this as well, Jace. But where he catches the lunch tray and all the food.
Yeah.
No
real.
CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is real. Yeah. It took like heaps of takes, right?
156 takes.
Yeah. What?
That's insane.
Wow. Yeah.
And imagine like I often think about those like long like moments that they have to catch. By doing it a million times, but every time the actors and actresses that are in those moments have to react in the right way. So imagine if you actually caught it, but you didn't react in the right way, like, because you're so shocked by the thing. Like, you're like, oh, we did it. Oh, we did it. Oh, wait, what?
Yes. I mean, great reflex.
I was like, we're going to have to do that again.
No, they're just like, we'll mask her out. We'll slap another take over her. We'll go. Let's go.
It is a testament to Kirsten Dunst that she can actually have a smile in that moment and be like, great reflexes.
She's happy because she gets to go home now. Like, well, have you ever heard the story of the pizza scene from Breaking Bad? When he throws the pizza on the roof? First take, they had 2 hours scheduled for them to do that scene.
Yeah.
And he just nails it first take.
Yeah, no way.
All right, we're done.
That is the
how
dream.
Good is that?
That's like early lunch. Oh, that was great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That's sick. Imagine if you got like the catching the tree the first time when they had scheduled 150. That's insane. Yeah. Really?
She'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, great reflexes.
Great
well done.
Reflexes.
Flash, we're over.
I'm surprised that like they didn't have like a single tear coming out of her eye when he actually does catch it.
How many?
150 something.
That's a lot of film.
156.
Yeah. That is
yes.
Yeah, because so it's shot expensive. On film too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's very expensive. I feel like there would have been like, let's just like scrap that film, not even worry about developing it, like the other 140 takes or 55 takes.
Do you want me to send this can over for processing?
No.
No. Don't even worry about
it. Anyways, so we have that scene happens, like the Macy Day Parade kind of thing happens. And then we have like a whole montage of Spider-Man becoming like, you know, the savior of the city and everything like that. And then he sees M4.
By the way.
Yeah, it happens all before, but I'm sort of jumbling up things all over the place.
We're blasting off again.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so we have a scene where Peter sees MJ and it's all raining and then she goes off into a dark alleyway and he sees that there's some robbers coming. And this is the moment when you have the most uncomfortable kiss in the world.
We cannot skim over this bit, dude. And we cannot skim over this. This is like the ultimate classic
scene. This was
scene.
Like cinema history.
The thing that really gets me is that MJ like just straight up cheats on Harry in this moment because she's with Harry in this.
Mate, but if Spider-Man rescued me, I think I'd be cheating on my wife at this point.
She was stoked about Spider-Man. She's like, you know how some couples have their like their list?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like if you meet a celebrity. Like,
yeah, it's okay.
It's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's Spider-Man.
They probably have one of those. Like,
they're not actual lists.
Harry and I have like this, you know, Harry and I have this free pass list.
Yeah, yeah.
The Spider-Man's on mine.
He saves Harry and Harry's like, you know, my girlfriend and I have this free pass, so this is totally okay.
You're on both our lists.
Like, thanks. Okay, I'm out.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Like, but yeah,
I think that's the most surprising thing about rewatching this movie. I forgot about how many classic moments there are that have just become part of pop culture now.
Oh, yeah,
and
like, yeah, sure.
You know, and everyone rips on these scenes. Like, they're, you know, they're classic now.
Yeah,
for like a movie that was done in 2002. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it is crazy. But I just think like it just must be really uncomfortable doing that kissing scene. Just,
yeah.
Took 156 takes.
Not because they were stuffing it up.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire died several times because blood went completely out of his body to his head.
Crew broke for lunch and he's just stuck there. You're like, guys.
He's just like bleeding from his ears from the, like by the last take because it's like just completely run out. But yeah, so this scene happens and then we have a scene where Harry and Norman are no. So we have the Spider-Man going into the burning building scene in this moment. And there's a lady like that's like, no, my baby. And so he
My
baby. And so he goes in and jumps out through an explosion with the baby.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
I was like, okay.
It's classic Spider-Man.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know how fire works, right? Like,
no.
I don't think that baby's going to be okay.
Bad.
Dude,
it's fine.
He was
what
fine.
It needs to worry about is smoke inhalation. That's where you got to worry.
Yeah. Okay,
the kid's alive, but it can't breathe.
And it'd have at least a few burns. Like, there'd be a few burns. There's a lot
baby
of fire
burn,
going
baby
on
burn.
There. But anyways.
My question is, like, why was the baby left alone in a burning building in the first place?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's up quite a few floors.
Yes.
Who goes down like 3 to 4 floors and be like,
oh no, I forgot my baby.
Actually, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's totally plausible. I think it's totally fine. That kid is very young. I reckon it's damn near newborn. There was a story a couple of weeks ago where a plane was like rerouted and had to go back because a lady left her newborn in the airport.
Holy, that is terrifying.
Yeah,
technically plausible, but only if you're a really bad parent.
Bad parent.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
When you become a parent, it's not. Yeah, like it's a new thing. You're not used to it, but you are aware that you have a baby.
I mean, you pushed this thing out. Surely you remember this.
Yeah, exactly. It's the mother as well. Like, it's not the father. Like, I could kind of believe it if it was the father, but yeah, not the mum. Yeah,
not the mum.
Like, she remembers.
If you can't hear your baby for a little while, like, you very quickly become aware of its absence. I'll just say
yes, for sure. Anyway. So Spider-Man like has a confrontation with the Green Goblin, who's dressed up like an old lady for reasons. Did he start the theatrics. Fire? Is that what?
Yeah.
He loves theatrics. He's all about the theatrics in this.
Well, you know that he did most of he did like 90% of his own stunts.
What, the Green Goblin?
Willem Dafoe.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool. Was he in a real burning building?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Playing a real old lady.
Yeah.
He really genetically modified himself.
Yes.
It's all real.
His method acting.
That's right.
Real anger issues.
This scene has one of my favorite things from this movie, and it's something that really stuck with me after watching it the first time. No, it's the whole like dodging all the metal blade things. Like,
yes.
I thought that was awesome, man. And it still holds up pretty well today.
Yeah,
that was cool.
And he gets like the little slices all over him. And then I can't remember. How does he get out of this situation? I think he was taking notes at this point.
What does he do? He punches Green Goblin away.
He's kind of yeets out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Spider-Man's gone.
Yeah, fair enough.
No one says no to me. And then that's it.
So, but doesn't he accidentally leave like a license, or he leaves something that guides him to Aunt May?
No,
No, because they're going for like Thanksgiving dinner or something
that. That's right.
And so he knows that Spider-Man's cut his arm. And that's it. That's the end.
Bike messenger.
Spider-Man, like Peter Parker, he like Tom Cruises it in his bedroom because they're all there for like Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, and everyone's like hears him upstairs, so they all go upstairs to his room, and he's on the roof, and there's that single drop of blood that goes from the roof down, and Osborn immediately knows that something's up when that drop of blood goes down. I was like, does he have spidey sense? Because he knows.
Enhanced hearing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Okay, so
still.
It kind of doesn't make sense how he's acting. No. Why he's like so...
He's so suspicious.
So suspicious, yeah.
Because I'm like, you hear a drop, you'd think like it's just the water dripping outside or something like that. You don't go... It's blood right near me, kind of thing. Like, what? That's
spider blood.
Yeah, it's spider blood.
There's some really well done filming in this point, which I thought was like, it's actually quite ingenious the way it's done. Because like the whole reveal of him on the roof and then the drip, and it like just misses him, and then he turns around and he looks up. So there's like, and the one shot, which I'm like, I just was like, wow, that's actually weirdly easy and so simple, but really effective, where he turns around, he's heard the drop, and Peter Parker's just like, crap. And then you see Norman Osborn in like a mid shot, look up, and the camera pans up, sees the empty roof, pans down to Norman Osborn now in a mad close up, and he's like, does the evil squint and walks off camera. And I was like, in that moment, the camera didn't move at all. The camera looked up and then came down.
And he just stepped forward.
Willem Dafoe's just stepped forward.
That's cool.
Pulled to like a different focus mark.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Nailed the focus.
It's such a
good, easy
trick. And it's like, it makes it really weirdly like effective. In like, he's sinister.
That's cool.
You know, I kept being impressed of like how cool tricks like that.
Sam Raimi's like a king of doing like low budget stuff. Like you see it from Evil Dead days, like just the stuff that he does with the camera and just the setups of just different sequences and things like that. Mm. He's a genius in the way that he just learns to manipulate the smaller budgets that he has. And even in these bigger films, like just using the camera in really inventive ways. I think like that's what makes this movie kind of work, even though it's like really over the top, everything's fairly cheesy.
And it's starting to date a little bit. It kind of works. But yeah, for sure.
But it still works
first
for the most part.
First use of spider cam as well in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Like, that was because they developed it for this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a lot of software development for this movie. Mm. Like, it was it's a very big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2002.
Sure. Yeah,
biggest grossing movie in 2002.
Yeah, right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Mm. In this scene, though, when they're having dinner, like the Thanksgiving dinner, there's the funniest exchange between Aunt May and Norman when she like slaps him away from
Norman?
The turkey.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Norman? And she like slaps his hand.
Yes.
And then like he looks in this moment, he looks like he's going to just straight up kill her. And he's like sharpening the knives as well. I thought that was so funny. Like the way
later.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Norman.
And then, so then Norman realizes that Peter Parker like is actually Spider-Man because of the blood and everything at the dinner table.
Yeah.
Question. Was this the first time that Norman Osborn and Aunt May had met? Because at the start of the movie was the first time that it was like Peter Parker only met Norman Osborn at the start of the movie, right? So,
but there was a huge time jump.
Yeah, there's a massive time jump because they're actually living together, like in like the downtown and
of
stuff.
Of course, they would have helped out, like move out. Yeah. And yeah, for sure. Obviously,
there's been a bit of time.
So cool.
MJ,
still, don't slap the man.
Yeah, it's pretty funny though. So MJ overhears Norman trash talking her, and she gets up Harry for not standing up for her. But I was like,
totally
if
valid.
She's listening so closely, she would have heard Harry say his dad was wrong about her. Like, because he kind of does stand up for her. And I'm like, but then again, Norman's not completely wrong because she did cheat on her, on him.
With Spider-Man.
With Spider-Man.
Not just like
before.
A random.
So, like, it's like, it's.
With an already pre-established free pass.
Yeah,
for both of them. Okay.
Yeah. He's like, you're wrong about her. We've got a free pass with Spider-Man. That's what he should have said. Yeah, but completely justified her actions.
Yeah, it's fine.
And then we have
like, you're wrong about her, Dad. She's even dumber.
We have like Aunt May praying and the Green Goblin like surprise explodes.
Demons!
This
is a bit over the top.
It's so over the top.
Didn't need to be in the movie.
She continues to pray like some weird spell and in a different movie.
She's got a 10-minute cast time.
Yeah. She's like, I gotta complete it. And he goes in, he's like, finish it. And I was like,
demon!
Oh man.
Honestly, you could have done like an Edgar Wright cut where it's like kick, grab, and then she's gone.
This was a moment that actually really surprised me in this movie. Yeah. Oh yeah. Explosive interruptions. Aquaman was not the first one to do that.
There was only one.
Yeah, there's only one though.
There's only one.
Yeah,
Aquaman. This really surprised me and weirded me out because I remember this really differently. And it's because I think I read it. In school, when this came out, I read the novelization, and the novelization of this this scene,
the comics,
the
movie,
because we had it in the school library, like the movie novelization, and like I just read it. In this scene, the dialogue is clearly from like an earlier script where it's like finish it and then deliver us from evil, and then the Green Goblin goes evil, amen, sister. That's how it ends.
Are you serious?
And I just remember that
bit. But that doesn't make it any better. It just
stupider. I agree, but in my head, he said that
like,
in this movie. Yeah, and so I was like, hang on, he didn't say it. I've remembered this completely differently because of the book.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed.
And this is the moment when you're like, yeah, the book was better.
The book was so much better. Read the book. Yeah.
It's weird to see it referred to as a book when you're like, yeah. There's the comic.
Yeah, voice. Exactly.
As an actual book. It wasn't the comic.
So she goes to like what happens here? Like that's basically all that happens. And then she's in the hospital next scene sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like a weird cut for me. Like I was like, is it just he scares her or like he hurts her or something?
He's sending a message.
Yeah.
He's letting Peter know that
old lady
he knows who he is and his family's not safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that's it.
That's what he's doing.
And so at this point, Harry comes home and he hears like evil maniacal laughing and just like, yeah, like it's like up and like he completely ignores it. And he's like, he just was like, yeah, okay, me and MJ broke up. And like, that's like, does like, nobody care that Norman's having a mental breakdown? Like nobody in this
I love
movie.
It. He says nobody. It to Norman. He's just like, me and MJ broke up. And then the distance you hear.
Loser. Yes. It's like, basically as
you'll
like,
die alone. That sounded more like Palpatine.
Yeah. I feel like
she likes Peter. It's like, really? How does he feel about her? It's like, he's always loved her. Interesting.
Oh, that was you laughing like evilly.
Peter's talking to Harry later on and he's like, what should I do? Should I ask her out? In the background here, do it.
And that's when we realize it's actually just an origin story for the Emperor.
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. Perfect.
Good old Sheev.
So, anyway, so he loves his theatrics. So he drops MJ off on top of the Queensborough Bridge. And we have the Roosevelt Island tram that's coming by and he decides to heighten the theatrics by blowing up the cables on the tram and throwing MJ off. And there's the line where he's like,
you gotta choose.
Let die the woman you love or suffer the little children.
Man, and you can't write that stuff.
And yeah.
Apparently you can't.
Sure could. This is definitely the assistant writing this one.
You can't write that stuff. Surely autocorrect would have kicked it at some point.
But yeah, Spider-Man's like fully like, why don't I do both? I'm just going to do both anyways kind of thing.
Yes.
Why have
Spider-Man becomes that girl from the taco commercials.
Reels them both in.
I honestly don't know why. Why even have this scene if it's not? There's not going to have any consequences to it. He just does both anyways. It's like
because it's a moment.
Yeah,
he's got to have a hero moment. He's got a clutch, and he
does.
Clutches.
He does, and I think I like the idea of like. Having stakes, like consequences to it. Like he actually has to grapple with that choice.
But I don't know. Superhero movies were still now it's like, give me some stakes, let some folks die.
Yeah.
But then you're like, I just want a good superhero movie that's not the Hulk.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But this came out before the Hulk, right?
It did.
I hope so.
Yeah,
yes, it did.
It actually did. Yeah,
before,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
I think Hulk came out the same year Spider-Man 2 did, if I'm correct.
I think it did. I think
superhero
right.
movies,
yeah.
is it?
I think.
Anyways, so they have their final fight, and they end up in like an abandoned building, and I actually really liked this scene. I liked the fact that. All the music dropped out and it was just their grunts and groans and their punching and just like, it was just really visceral. There's like just something about it. And the camera work's awesome.
Bomb to the face. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And it's just, and like he has a whole building falls on him and he doesn't, he just gets back up. But yeah, I mean, that's okay, I suppose. Anyway, so we have the final showdown.
Up to the bit when the bee... Rider comes in for the Godspeed Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He has that moment, which is when the silent jet-powered glider sneaks up on Spider-Man. And he only has his spider sense kick in when it speeds up. He doesn't notice that? Like, I mean, I'm not Spider-Man, but I'm sure I'd hear that thing flying in.
It's because like, Elon Musk has partnered with Green Goblin. But it's a Tesla.
That's right.
But it's got it's like a jet-powered thing. Like, it's like actually blowing like fire out the back. That's like got to make a sound. Maybe it's his suit. Fire doesn't make sound, a little bit.
Jason.
Okay, you're right. Fire doesn't make sound. It's just silent.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh, sorry. If a tree burns in the woods, can you hear it?
Okay. Anyway, right. So he's like, well, what does he say? Godspeed, Spider-Man? Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Godspeed, Spider-Man. Then he backflips the sucker.
Yeah, I got it wrong. Then, Godspeed, Spider-Man. Whatever it is. I actually really like that line. He's like, oh no, whatever.
I love the like the
you should stop punching.
Yeah. But he's got like all those crazy camera moves that just work so well. I really do dig this movie a lot.
Or even just like how fast it's like that speed ramp when the glider like fires.
Yeah.
And it's like a little bit slow as he backflips and then just like speeds up right into Willem Dafoe.
It's amazing. Awesome. So yeah, he gets stabbed. Visceral. And then Spider-Man takes him back to his house dead.
Yep.
And Harry sees him and this is when you get like the two movie miscommunication that gets fixed up by the butler. Who decides to keep it quiet. And that's kind of why freak. I kind of
who
dislike this.
Him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man the payoff 3, is not worth it. Like
so just, bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
When that butler comes out, I'm like, you are the worst. Like you are literally the worst butler.
Yeah, you're actually
the
saying
are from his own blade or whatever.
From his glider. I've been sitting on this for 5 years.
Waiting for the right time. It was never the right time, I suppose.
Even when
whoops,
the police officers were asking,
I thought
it wasn't the right time.
I thought when a grenade went off in your face, it was probably the right time.
Probably the right time.
Sure, you're missing a cheek, but this is the right time.
This is it.
You know how you've been really angry and you've been in this rapid descent of self-destruction? Well, now you can get out of it.
The explosion that ripped off your cheek came from your own bomb.
Yeah.
You coward.
They have this miscommunication that happens for two movies. And then we have Norman's funeral and MJ comes up and confesses her undying love and Pete's like, nah, I'm happy. I'm in the friend zone. I'll stay in the friend zone. And he goes off in a big epic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of this movie. What do you guys think on retrospect watching this movie? Did you love it as much?
Even though we've ripped into it like crazy, I think I enjoy it even more now after talking about it.
It still holds up a fair bit, I think.
Absolutely.
It's like it's stopped being a good Spider-Man movie and it's more now become this like a really good meme.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's like you go back and watch the prequel trilogy of Star Wars, and they're just so funny because of all the memes about the original trilogy, about the prequels, And it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
I find the prequels just hard to watch now. I can't like watch them. It's really tough. They're a grind.
Like there's just been so many re-edits that anytime I see those scenes, I laugh. Like the whole bit where it's like, but wait, what's your name? And then they'd overdub from 22 Jump Street where it's like, my name's Jeff.
And it's Jeff, It's true.
Yeah.
So good.
Fair enough.
So much of this doesn't hold up quite as well, but it's just like, again, cinematography is fantastic. Still one of the better looking superhero films, in my opinion.
It definitely is. I think some of the visual effects hold up better than Black Panther's final fight, like, to be honest.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
A lot of the visual effects, actually, because they're sort of grounded in some sort of reality for the most part. Okay. There's a few, like, body, like, digital body doubles when he's first learning to, like, jump and run around that look really chonky. But when he's in the suit and he's sort of all the skin's covered up, I think it works pretty well, like, the CGI,
True. But, all right. There's just, it's a fun movie and definitely worth a rewatch for sure.
Yeah.
To see how a good superhero origin film is made.
I'm glad with the new Spider-Man movies, we're sort of not going back to it because I think it's good enough to be able to watch this movie and sort of cover the origin story in a lot of ways. We don't need to see the origin story again because it's already done pretty well here, really.
And again, all the moments that make these like movies iconic, like you think the Amazing Spider-Man series, even though there are some good bits, they are pretty forgettable.
Like, there are
scenes in this that stick with you.
Yeah.
Like for years, for ages.
Yeah, that's for sure.
A pretty good sign of a good movie. Three and a half birds.
Three and a half birds for you? Yeah. What about you, Paul? Where does it rank for you?
I'll probably give it three. Like I said, I love Spider-Man, but my baseline is now very, very high.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse, that's true. Homecoming, they've really ratcheted it up in what I want from a Spider-Man movie, but it's still great. This has started many, many years worth of good time. So, three.
For sure.
Yeah,
three fair birds. Enough.
I think I'm with you, Dean, actually, with this. I'm three and a half birds because there is so much nostalgia with this movie and I actually really enjoyed it.
I think we need to realize that, like, because we saw these movies when we were so young. Like,
most of us.
Yeah. When Paul and I were young.
Yeah. Yeah,
when Jason was old enough to play one,
I was a spring chicken at 85, and I was like, "Yep, yeah, ready to watch it."
Yeah,
Jason was the bus driver.
Yeah, that's what Sam Raimi was like. No, you're gonna have to play the old guy.
Okay? Yeah. You're great at J. Jonah Jameson, yeah? J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Alliteration. Where do we reckon Far From Home is gonna land in quality level of Spider-Man?
I don't know.
Is that too big a question to ask for this podcast?
Yes.
It is a big question. I think
we're not going to answer that at 20 past 11.
You really, like, it's going to be just another run-of-the-mill movie. I feel it's going to be an enjoyable movie, but I don't think it's going to be great.
I hope it lands somewhere between this and Spider-Verse, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it'll hit that high. I think it'll land between this and Homecoming. It'll be not quite as good as Homecoming, but maybe just like, okay, like a good movie still.
Okay.
Like, yeah. But
yeah, fair enough. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that just really helps us to keep the lights on. Otherwise, you can contribute in another way, and that's by liking and subscribing to our podcast. If you write us a review on iTunes or any other platform that you're on, give us a nice 5-star review, and that really helps us to get some exposure.
If we're on it.
If you think we deserve it, you don't have to lie.
Which we do.
We definitely do. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I think we're all right.
Give me five other podcasts that are talking about Spider-Man 1 right now. I'll wait.
Got you there. Now give us a 5-star review. Otherwise, you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're Nerds Before Birds on all of those, except for Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Bird. Brings us to the end of the show. That's a bye from me.
Bye.
That's a bye from me, guys. Have a great night.